Us tonight and open them to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be reading that together, verses 1 through 11 tonight. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And tonight's study is called Breaking Free from the Past. I think all of us have things in our lives that we wish weren't there, hadn't been there, wish we'd never done, all those kinds of things. But what happens is if you live in the past, then you can't live for the present. And so the Lord wants us to move forward, to move on, and to walk in Him rather than in our stability, where we think we're stable. So we're going to begin reading in verse 1, chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Father, I ask you, Lord, to help us put these things into practice, because it is really easy to just live in this world. But when we live in this world and we do what this world thinks is important, we are not light for you, and we're not helping anyone, and we're actually hurting and being a detriment. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us break away from all the old things that are still trying to hang on in our lives, and live each day according to you and according to your Spirit. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your outlines tonight, you'll see the first thing is to look up. I think a lot of times we don't look up very often. I think I tend to not look up as much as I need to. I think we look down a lot. I think we look around a lot, but I don't think we look up enough. Look up means to do what verses 1 through 4 says. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things where? Above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you've died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. We need to focus on the right thing, and that focusing on the right thing is focusing on Him. It's not focusing on the church necessarily. It's not focusing on our job. It's not focusing on what we want to do or what we think we ought to do. It's focusing on Him. This is part of abiding in Christ. It is keeping our eyes on Him. Why? Because He's our life. He is everything that we need. He is our sustainer of our life. He is our salvation. Without Him, we'd have nothing. Why would we be looking anywhere else in this world for anything? We ought to be looking upon Him. He's our life, our salvation. He's our Lord. The word Lord literally means the one who is in absolute control. And He is. He's our life, our salvation, our Lord, and He's our King. King means He's ruler. In other words, we bow before Him, and we honor Him, and we exalt Him in everything we think and do. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your heart? What are you treasuring? Treasuring this world? Not worth it. Treasuring Him? Worth every bit of it. We need to look up and focus on Him, and not on this world. That's what Paul was saying to the church at Colossae. It's easy to get your mind on the things of this earth. He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? because you've died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So we've got to focus on Him and not on this world. Why? Because this world limits our view. This world limits our view. It makes us not see the things that we need to see. Our spiritual eyes need to be open, but many times our spiritual eyes are closed or at least squinted or at least veiled. We need to be looking up. It limits our faith. When we look at all the things around us and the things that are happening, many times we become faithless rather than faithful. But when we look up to the Lord, we will become more and more faithful in everything we do. Paul says we have positionally died. In other words, all the things that we've done bad, all the sins that we've ever committed or ever will commit, they've all been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are now positionally in Jesus. We are in Him. We are literally hidden in Him spiritually. And so because of that, why would we ever step outside of that and go back to what we were doing before? So to break free from the things that we used to do, we got to look up. Secondly, Paul says we also got to look out. What I mean by that is we need to start seeing things clearly. Reading in verse 5 through the first part of verse 9, it says this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, and filthy, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self. In other words, he says, we need to start looking out. We need to start seeing things clearly, spiritually. We need to start looking at things the way God looks at them rather than the way we choose to look at them. We need to be truthful about our sin. I think many times we try to hide our sin. But if we don't confess our sins, then they're held against us. 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we'll just confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need to be truthful about our sins. We need to call it what it is. And when we do that, then we can do confession to Him. I'm not talking about going to a church and sitting on the opposite side of a wall and confessing to some person. I'm talking about in your own heart, in your own mind, confessing your sin before God and then repent from it. Repent means turn the other way. Go the opposite direction. We need to see our sinful nature as powerless. It's dead compared to the life that we can have in Christ. We just need to see clearly. We also need to see completely. You see, His blood, Jesus' blood, covers all sin. It doesn't cover most sins. It doesn't cover just the bad sins. It covers all sin. His forgiveness to you and to me, if we've called out to Him as our Savior and Lord, is absolutely complete. There'll never be a time when Jesus looks at you and says, hey, listen, I forgave all your sins except... No. They're all gone. Scripture tells us in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our sins from us. We need to see clearly and completely. We need to see concretely. In other words, we need to call sin exactly what it is. Sometimes we just say, oh, I messed up. Well, you can mess up doing a lot of different things. And so he lists out some things that they were struggling with in Colossae, and I assume that most people are struggling with today because sin has not changed. It's still sin. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger. We could spend time on all of these. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. All of these things you think, well, you know, maybe I've just done one of these things, or maybe I've just thought about these things or whatever. But the bottom line is, no matter what they are, in God's sight, they're sin. And Paul says we need to get rid of these things. We need to, when we're tempted in any way with any of these different things, we need to say no. We need to instead walk in Him. He says, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things like these. How do you rid yourself of these things? The same way you rid your house of roaches. Of course, we don't have many roaches around here in Craig, Colorado, but I mean, if you've got a problem, you need to get rid of them. Whether it takes pesticide or whatever else it takes, you need to get rid of them unless you just want to live in them. And then if you want to live in them, you'd be living in these things as well. The third thing is that we need to look in. In other words, we need to look inside where all of our motivation, all of our heart really is. And so it says, since you've taken off your old self with all of its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of the Creator. He says, we need to take off the old self. I used to do a youth Bible study, and I called it the not the Emperor's New Clothes, but the Christian's New Clothes. And it was all about taking off the things that displease God and putting on the things that God wants us to wear. Physically, it's not the big a deal. But what are we supposed to be wearing? What are people supposed to be seeing? I dare say they shouldn't be seeing sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. So what should they be seeing? They should be seeing the image of Christ in us. So we've taken off the old self. We're looking on the inside. To do that, we have to claim His provision. The only way we can do what He calls us to do is that He's provided for us. We are a new person, a new creation, the Scripture tells us. We are then set apart for God's work. Because we are brand new and because we have been set apart, Ephesians 2:10 encourages us, for we are God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We need to claim that provision in our life. God, you've created me and you prepared me in advance to do your work. We also need to be clothed with His purpose, becoming like Him. Returning to His image. I love how Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, we were formed in God's image and deformed from His image by sin. But through Jesus Christ, we can be transformed into God's image once again. There are a lot of people who are living in that middle section, deformed from His image by sin. We need to look inside. We need to see what we need to confess and repent of. And we need to start walking in God's provision and working those things out in our lives. Lastly, we need to look around. Look at what verse 11 says. It says, here, talking about the church in Philippi and also talking about our church and any other church, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. You get how he's saying that? He said, but Christ is all. It's not about who you are, where you're from, what you've done, any of those things. It's not about any of those things. It's not about your pedigree. It's not about your heritage. It's not about whose mom's is your mom and whose dad is your dad. It's not about any of those things. It's simply about the fact that Jesus is everything. He is all. And then He is in all. So, as we start to look around, we need to start looking around with the eyes of Christ. We need to see like He sees. That means there's no barriers between us and other people. Things that keep us separated. We need to see them like Jesus sees them. Guess where Jesus went? Everywhere He went to the place where people were hurting, struggling, bound in sin, wherever it was, and He went directly to them. He didn't go to a building and say, okay, all of y'all come to me. He went to them. No barriers, no differences, no walls. We need to see people like Jesus sees them. And he sees them as precious, precious people that he wants to be saved, that he paid their price for. When Jesus looks at people, the way we can have his eyes and his heart is look like he looks. His look is he loves everyone. There's not any ounce of a person inside of Jesus who would say, I love you more than I love you. He loves everyone. There's no one, no matter how bad they are, no matter how obnoxious they are, no matter how, you know, terrible they've been in their life, he looks straight at them and says, I love you. I mean, think about it. When he was walking through the city and all these people wanted to see him and meet him and everything else, he looks up into a tree and there's a little man with a big desire to see Jesus. And he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house today. Hope you got some good food. And that's where he went. He didn't go to to all the Pharisees' homes. He went specifically to Zacchaeus' house. He loves everyone. Why? Because he paid for everyone. He paid for all people. The sin that was upon the cross was the weight of the world upon Jesus. And he paid for it all. And he will receive all who will come to him. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you've been, no matter how far you think you've missed the mark, we all have. The fact is that he will receive anyone who will come to him. That's what Paul was trying to tell the church at Colossae. Listen, don't get caught up in all this thought process of this person is a really good person, that person is not a great person. So I'm going to really focus my time on the good people and stick around them and just, you know, be a country club with them. And he says, look, there are people all over that are just simply trying to exist, but they don't have life. And so we are to look at them and see them like Jesus would see them. And what would he do? He would go to them. He would go to them. We've got to do the same thing. We've got to look around and see people who are hurting, struggling, whatever they're doing. We need to go to them. More often than not, they're not going to come to us. But we are to go to them. Father, I pray that you'll help us look at people the way that you look at people. You love them so much. So much that you were willing to die, to pay their ultimate sin debt. Lord, we're to have the heart and the mind of Christ. And so when we look around and we see people, when we meet them in the store, when we see them at work, wherever it is, we are to love them the same way that you love them, no matter if they're not very lovable. We are to love them completely, unconditionally. Lord, give us that desire in our hearts to be like you, to see like you, to love like you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.